All right, people, this is another exciting time and another edition of Dialogue with Najiti. And you know what we do on the program, every edition of the program, we talk about everything societal issues. It's good to be back again. And, you know, in the month of March, how many times have I been here since I got my, don't mind me, I'm just trying to be funny. All right, people, good morning, Boston. And good evening, Nigeria. All right, so there is the 20th of March, 2021, and it's another time for us to discuss societal issues. And on the other half of the program, we bring you an old school musical segment, which is called The Group Time, where we play you songs that made tremendous impact during the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. But first, we would give you the latest updates that made the news in Lagos, Nigeria. Remember, Afrosud Radio brings Africa to you. Dialogue with Najiti also brings Nigeria to you. So first and first, in Lagos State, one Jane Otubo was arrested for allegedly attempting to rape his male friend called Francis Aziz, who he invited from Abuja. And it was reported that Jane Otubo promised to assist Francis Aziz to establish his business in Lagos while he lived with him. But, you know, trouble started 1 week of living together as Jane began, you know, making several sexual advances at Francis. And then he decided he wanted to return. But report says that Francis is not gay and that he refused the passes made by Jane, but he was assaulted upon attempting to return back to Abuja. And another thing that happened during the week also was that the police identified a man who was seen in an online video threatening to beat up a young lady who advised him to stop masturbating in the public vehicle. Imagine. And the man was identified simply as Matthew, and he was seen in the video masturbating next to this female passenger in the public bus. And then while she videoed, she was advising him to, you know, stop what he was doing and go home and continue doing what he was doing. But then the situation turned into something else. It turned into a scene when he attempted to beat her up, calling her all sorts of names and assaulting her. But the police has said that Matthew works with a laundry company as a driver, and the claims that he was claiming he was a police officer threatening her was not true. He wasn't a police officer. He was just a laundry company driver. And another woman also filed the same complaint of sexual harassment against Matthew for the same similar act, you know, doing the same stuff in a public transportation now. But he's right now being investigated by the Lagos State Domestic and Sexual Violence Response Team. And now, to our last update of the week, one Onoha Obi was arrested for allegedly raping a 25-year-old lady in Lagos State. Now, Obi was reported to be raped and recorded nude pictures and videos of his victim. The nudes of the victim were recovered by the police after a search were conducted on his phone. You know, it's crazy how you rape somebody and then you take nudes of the person you have raped. It's quite dicey. But these are all of the highlights that happened and made the news this week. And these highlights informed the topic of discussion on today's edition of the program, which is sexual harassment. And this has been a topic of discussion over time. And unfortunately, people still indulge in this crime. You know, this makes me think that people suffer from some sort of mental breakdown or illnesses that enables them feel the urge to, you know, harass or rape other individuals. I feel like it's not normal. So we've heard of cases of pastors defiling children or teenagers, and we've heard of fathers and daughters affair. We've heard of neighbors assaulting little children. So many similar situations everywhere in the world. This is not peculiar to Nigeria. I hope you know that. It is also peculiar So every part of the world, it happens everywhere. And funny enough, there are laws. There are stringent laws that are supposed to help curb this menace. But unfortunately, we still have cases like this rising. And joining me on the program today is a renowned neuropsychiatrist in Nigeria in the person of Dr. Lawani Ambrose Onivevo. Dr. Lawani is on the program today not only to discuss these issues, but also to understand the minds of these predators. But quickly, we're going to take a break. And when we return, the discussion continues. Now, do not forget the conversation goes on our chat room. So you can quickly drop your comments, your thoughts, your experience in our live chat room. So all you need to do is just visit www.afrosurgeradio.com and tell us what you think about today's topic, or if you have any experience at all whatsoever, you know, just tell it to us and we would, you know, have a talk on this one. When we come back, I'm going to introduce my guest and the discussion goes on. But in the meantime, we're going to take a musical break, and when we return, talks goes on. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Dialogue with Najite.
Wishing for a friend, someone to call my own. Who's that for me? I have no bound and can't be sold. Keep me a friend who's gonna catch me when I fall. Oh, when I fall. Stay with me.
Yes, you're definitely going to stay with us as we discuss things that matters in the society. And we already have Dr. Lawani Ambrose via Zoom joining us. And I can see some other people will join us. So I think this conversation is going to be an interesting one already. Welcome back to Dialogue with Najite on AfroSun Radio. Do not forget, you can also head over to all our social media platforms to be a part of the conversation at AfroSurge. That's the handle on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Now for the topic of today, sexual harassment. First of all, I would like to introduce our guest, our main guest, who is Dr. Lawani Ambrose Onivevu. He is a consultant psychiatrist and the head of forensic psychiatry unit at the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital in Benin, Edo State. He joins us via Zoom now. Welcome to the program, Dr. Lawani.
Thank you very much.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm fine.
How is it sunny in Nigeria? Because it's really sunny right now.
Yes. We are fine over here in Benin.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And I can see that some of your colleagues are also joining in on the Zoom, which is interesting because I would also like to, you know, hear from them as well.
Oh, that's great. It's great.
Yeah. So sexual harassment is not a new topic at all. It is not. It's something that we have seen in conversation over time. And yes, there are laws in place to punish offenders, you know, but the law doesn't seem like it has lessened sexual harassment or abuse. That's why I decided to look at the issue from the perspective of the mental behavior of these offenders. So first, let's begin with fathers having sexual intercourse with their daughters. About 2 weeks ago, a father was arrested for sleeping with his daughters, and he was reported to have started this behavior since his wife died. He says that every time he sees his daughter, he remembers his wife. I mean, he thinks about his wife. So every time he got his daughter pregnant, he takes her to the hospital and aborts the child. And, you know, I just seem to wonder what kind of behavior could this be? So Dr. Lawani, what is the situation here? Dr. Lawani, can you hear us?
Well, thank you very much.
Can you hear us? I think we're having a bit of delayed network. If you can hear us, Dr. Lawani, can you hear us?
Hello?
Okay, go ahead, sir. Hello? So we can hear you now.
Thank you very much. I said part of the issue of the case you just mentioned just now, it's not culturally acceptable.
Okay.
It's not in keeping with our culture and our religion for a father to have such relationship with the daughter.
Right.
So it's unacceptable. So those, it falls within the ambit of one of the criteria for saying an individual has a mental health challenge. So certainly that man has some problems that need to be sorted out.
Right.
He needs to visit a neuropsychiatric center so that he can be properly evaluated and adequate treatment given.
Okay.
Certainly
so
there's a problem.
What do you think would be the problem? Because the excuse that he gives is that every time he looks at his daughter, he remembers his wife.
Well, you see, now that is not a good reason. The reason is that that will be what we call a defense mechanism in psychiatry. That means preferring something that seems reasonable and acceptable as an alibi for an unacceptable behavior. That is not acceptable. It remains unacceptable to God and man. So that is not the solution.
Right.
There are reasonable ways for such individuals to discharge their sexual tension. There's no law against him getting remarried.
All right.
Those are more functional methods of coping with the absence of his wife, rather than going for the wife's daughter. If his judgment was good,
now this is not just
how will it be? If his judgment is good
as well.
Yes, if the judgment is good, how will he think his wife will feel? You understand? So you can see he has problems with judgment and impulse control too. You know?
Now, he could have picked up some other lady outside. So why his daughter?
The man has a challenge. Mm. He has a mental challenge. He certainly has a mental challenge and needs help, you know?
Right.
To go for therapy so that at least his matter will be properly addressed.
Okay.
You know, it's not just to sentence him, because if you sentence him even to jail or whatever, when he comes out, he's still going to, if he doesn't receive adequate therapy, he's going to come back again, perhaps for another man's child.
Okay. I can see that we have some of your colleagues here. We have Evelyn, we have Ethel. Thank you guys for joining the program. I wish you guys can unmute your mic, because I would also love you to be a part of this conversation. So let me go to Ethel. What do you think about the situation of father and daughter relationship? Hello. Okay, so let's just keep going on. I think maybe he's not close to the phone. Anyway, so father and daughter relationship is something that we've heard of, and you have said it all, Dr. Lawani, that he needs to be mentally checked.
Yeah.
Let's now move on to old aged men from the ages of 70s, 85, defiling children, teenagers between the age of 6 and then 18. At this age, one would think that a man's sexual urge will not be high. So, you know, he really doesn't care about sex. So what could be the reason for such acts?
Well, again, when a person suffers from, a mental health challenge, part of a phenomenon you find is issues of poor judgment.
Okay.
You know, then I've gone, there's the issue of poor social skill in having relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with a 70-year-old man marrying a younger person, you know? But so those are dysfunctional ways of coping with discharge of sexual impulses.
Okay.
So it's not acceptable. It also tells you there's a problem somewhere that needs to be addressed. You know, so those kind of people will need some form of evaluation.
Right. And moving on to young men raping old women. The case is vice versa now. You know, I saw a report of a guy who was in his 20s and he was arrested for raping his 70-year-old grandmother. And like, what could be the reason behind this particular behavior? And then, you know, the general's perception will be that this reason was for ritual purposes.
Well, thank you very much. It's quite rampant presently, especially in some geopolitical zones in Nigeria, where you have this internet fraudsters.
Right.
Again, you can't, aside from ritual purposes, you can't rule out the role of use of psychoactive substances. That's drug abuse.
Okay.
So drug abuse, a person may be intoxicated. Whoever must have done that may have been intoxicated after abuse of some psychoactive substance that change the way they feel, the way they think. You understand what I'm saying? So these substances impair the way persons feel. And the way they think, and it can alter their behavior, and they now indulge in unacceptable and inappropriate behavior. But aside from that, there are the others who are not using psychoactive substances, but because of the quick fix mentality, the quick fix, instant here and now solutions to their problems, instant gratification. They cannot control, they cannot endure to learn a trade or go to school, you know, so that before they begin to at least earn something, they want to go the miracle way. Those individuals also indulge in such. But again, it's also a reflection of their cognition. It's also a reflection of their capacity to think. And it also shows that they have problems with their judgment. They have poor judgment.
Okay. Would you say that this also has to do with upbringing?
Well, of course, certainly parenting has a whole big role to play in all this. Parenting has a big role to play because people don't just wake up and join cult groups and clubs where they are initiated into such internet fraudster groups. You understand? Nobody was, people are taught these days, you know, I'm sure you must have heard now that there are academies for teaching fraud, teaching, recruiting young people to teach them fraud in Nigeria.
I've not heard this one.
Yes, they have. The EFCC have been doing a lot of good work, especially in the southwest part of Nigeria. I don't want to mention the name of the state. They have been busting their groups of people. And parents are the ones who have been enrolling their children in such institutions so that they are tutored on how to carry out internet fraud. So definitely parenting has a role to play.
I also heard about women parents, like the mothers of those fraudsters, having an association called Yahoo Yahoo Mothers Association.
Of course,
if you encourage your children into crime.
Yes, again, because of peer pressure, because some of the parents too who behave in this manner want to live up to their age mates.
Right.
Who perhaps are more endowed in terms of their profession or in terms of what they inherited. They look at them as we were classmates in those days. How come he's here and I'm here? So they want to try to level up, and so that maybe when they are performing social functions of maybe the grandparents' burial of the potential internet fraudster, they can invite people and they throw away a lot of money, they spray foreign currencies, and yes, it gives them some sort of psychological relief that they have experienced catch-up growth. The catch-up growth they did not receive in the legal and appropriate way, they use a dysfunctional route to try to get that catch-up growth. And again, this is dysfunctional. It should be discouraged.
How about those who feel like they feel the urge to just, you know, be with every woman that comes their way? You know, let's look at a young man who was in the news, who raped this victim, and then also took nudes of nude pictures and videos of the of his victim. You know, I just keep wondering, after the act, why would you want to keep such, you know, memory? Is it that it is reminding himself of the pleasure, or what's the case here?
Okay, fine. You see, there are many reasons people commit rape. You know, males may commit rape, even though the victims are not essentially strictly only females. Males are also victims of rape anyway, but, we have the incidents being females being more of the victims. But what you find is that when males rape females, it may be for several reasons. Some it is to show that they are domineering, that they have this masochistic tendency to show that they can dominate the women. Then so for some others, it may be they lack social skill to approach the lady and make their intentions known. So they also go that to satisfy their fantasy. Now, for those who will go ahead and, you know, take pictures of such scenes, it tells you that they want to dehumanize, they want to degrade the victim. But it also shows that they lack poor judgment, that there's something wrong with their thinking pattern, because it means they are not aware that rape is a crime. And they are probably not aware that by their disclosing such or releasing such on the social media, they will be apprehended. You know, so these are the things you find, you know, associated with such phenomena.
Now, you talked about rape being a crime, and you're talking about people not knowing. I don't really want to go with the ideology that people do not know that the act is a crime. In as much as people still know that this is a crime, and in as much as we have you know, laws that are set aside to punish these offenders, we still have rising cases of the same crime. What could be the reason for, you know, a man who is normal, just, you know, enjoys committing such crime, and when he's caught, he realizes that, oh, it's the work of the devil?
Well, I want to thank you. Again, you must know that you cannot rule out the issue of drug abuse. It's very rampant in the society. When a person is on a psychoactive substance, it impairs judgment and cognition. You know, now, so that is one. Now, two, in the absence of a deterrent, you find many of these people being involved in reoffending. At the beginning of the program, you mentioned something about an individual who had been serially involved in sexual harassment of ladies.
Right.
But, you know, if a person is not punished, then he goes free. Then again, when people want to try to, some parents, when they want to assure that the person involved, the perpetrator, is punished, you see some relatives come out and say, no, this is too, this thing, the social stigma is there. And at the end of the day, the thing goes down. But again, let me also let you know that as a society, we have not actually also placed the systems in place to ensure that evidence is properly collected.
Okay.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, we need manpower. You need in various divisions of the Nigerian police people to be properly trained on how to collect the evidence. You are talking now evidence immediately after the act, so that you can prove the DNA by virtue of DNA testing. You'll be able to know who the person is. But again, as a society, most of these things are not committed in the house, because they are committed in public places, in the streets and whatever. If as a society we're able to have CCTV cameras, it will also reduce the phenomenon, this kind of tendency. So there are several reasons. When people engage in this thing, some who probably do not even have any mental illness, if they know that the tendency or the potential or the to be caught is zero, then we engage in it. But if they know you have CCTV camera, of course, which cannot function without 24 hours electricity supply. You understand what I'm saying? So they will not engage in such. So you see, it's a multi-factorial reason we have this kind of phenomenon, because we have to look at all around, both the victim, the perpetrator, then the location, and the society. Then what are the people meant to correct this? What is their approach to it? You even find sometimes some of the law enforcement agents will tell you, oh, now leave and settle. Oh, now go settle.
Exactly. You understand? Exactly. You see parents settling at the stations, you know. You're like, yes, well, this is something the victim is going to live with for the rest of his or her life.
And you now find many of the victims suffering from some mental and behavioral disorders thereafter.
Yes.
Some will suffer from depression. Some will suffer from acute stress disorders. Some will suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, because most times, especially for the younger ladies, they refuse and they may be injured. And so it's quite traumatic, you know. So the victim has a whole lot of baggage to cope with. But most of the time, nobody talks about how to care for even the victim. How many, aside from a place like Lagos, that has a sexual harassment response and abuse prevention program. How many states have such program? I dare to say I don't know of any other states in Nigeria that has such an organized program for addressing such issues.
You're right about that. I mean, like, truly, we do not have all over the place. I mean, sometimes when I even call this legal practitioners to, you know, give their thoughts on the law against this act, you know, they keep, you know, hammering on the offender, this, he has to be punished, he needs to be in jail, he needs to be castrated, and you keep saying, oh, it's going to be domesticated in various other states, but it is not. And secondly, the attention is not even given to the victim.
Of course.
It is not given to the victim. So the victim is almost like a OYO, like my pair will say, your is your case, you know. You made mention of one of the story I was going to talk about today, about this man who was caught on a viral video that went online, and he was caught masturbating beside a female passenger. That is sexual harassment. He had not raped her yet, right? But he was doing that in her presence. And this is something that is common in Lagos State. I don't know about Benin, I don't know about other states, but I know this is common in Lagos State, where female passengers will be in the bus and complain about some male predators, you know, sexually harassing them. Is either they are masturbating or they are using their hands to brush their breast and pretending as if they are looking out the window. In this case, what could be wrong in this situation?
Oh, well, you see, you have talked about the environment where such happens. You know, that's the park environment, the motor park environment, where you have a lot of, I don't want to call them the dregs of society, you know, who work within the park system, pickpockets and a lot of area boys and whatever, you know. So again, the use of psychoactive substance as a major cause of this behavior of sexual harassment in the motor parks or within in transit, in public transportation systems, cannot be ruled out at all.
Right.
Now, again, because it fulfills the entire definition of what sexual harassment is, because it is behavior that is unwelcome, it is offensive, it is humiliating, and it is intimidating. Because once the man begins to engage in that, of course, the lady will begin to also feel quite uncomfortable.
Right.
Of course, she will try to relocate her chair or her seat or whatever.
Right.
You know, and this will cause a lot of disruption within it. But let me quickly say that this is not a phenomenon common to only Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that in metropolitan cities, cosmopolitan cities, this happens. And that's why you find in countries like Brazil, and in some other countries, India, where they have dedicated buses to just female alone buses. You know, you have females alone. So at least it's their way of trying
to
address, to cope this phenomenon, you know. And they also have other trains too. They have trains that are female only train routes. You know, so they also have buses that are for only females, you know. So it's their approach to addressing this phenomenon. So it will not be bad if in big cities in Nigeria, that template is adopted.
Do you think that if it is adopted in Nigeria, do you think it will work in any way?
I think with the political will, it will work. With political will and good leadership. But we just thank God really again that we just finished International Women's Day now.
Right.
And so we believe many of the ladies, they can crusade. From here. And luckily, many of the ladies who are the principal victims of this behavior are now speaking up. You now even have ladies coming out in documentary to say I was raped by this. You even have a very seasoned Nollywood actor recently, in a Septuagenarian, who came out and told a story about rape. I don't have to mention them. I'm sure you are aware of that. So what am I saying? People are now coming out. They are coming out from their shell. And it's a good one for women in Nigeria.
You know,
so the women in Nigeria can crusade for that too.
Definitely. But
and they have boss dedicated to them.
Another thing is, you know, when things like this have been done in the past, it's difficult to tell if it was true or not, because our law system is quite difficult. You know, in situations like this, maybe a lady had been raped 10 years ago. How do you prove that? So that's where our law needs to work to the full course, you know. So you're looking at 10 years ago, you're looking at 20 years ago event. How do you want to prove that this person was raped?
Anyway, well, let me quickly say that is one of the benefits of this program you are doing.
Right.
I believe police officers, commissioners of police, they are listening to this program.
Right.
So the impetus I believe they should derive from this is that they should gain traction in ensuring that gender violence units in their respective commands and divisions are made very operational. They should send their people for training. Mm-hmm. And they should liaise with forensic units in teaching specialists and teaching hospitals. You mm-hmm. know, so that the expertise will be there. And mm-hmm. I believe if such a thing is reported properly, and when a rape victim comes to the divisional police officer or presents in a division of the Nigerian police, rather than taking them to a primary health care center, where mm-hmm. you know perhaps they don't have facilities and equipment for collecting specimen that will mm-hmm. be of forensic value, they should be properly referred to the nearby teaching hospital. And once that is done, it is captured forever. Right. And the documents are there. And of course, that one we never tell a lie, we never change. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So those things, and remember, it's a criminal offense. Time will not run out of it if you collect your evidence very well.
Yes.
Time will not run out of a criminal offense if you collect your evidence very well. And now yes. this is to also quickly say, with respect to the ladies who are victims most of the time, they should learn to begin to do something, because most of the time there are antecedents to this. So they should keep these things in their diary. They should keep a diary and document everything. Keep the name of the victims. If text messages are sent to them in any way, they should make sure they archive such a text message. They should ensure that they know the names of the witnesses. Then they should be able to confide in people. They should not keep quiet, you know. And these, in this way and manner, people who engage in these acts will be brought to justice. And I know that verily and truly, Nigeria has wonderful, vibrant female lawyers, and including even male lawyers. FIDA is there. They are always ready to give pro bono services.
Right.
You know, so I think we are going somewhere. Things will change for good.
And now you talked about documentary. This makes me remember a story about a man who was tagged a serial rapist and robber in Port Harcourt, River State, where he would invite ladies, you know, indulge them on social media platforms, talk to them, invite them over to an hotel. At the end of the day, he drugs them, rapes them, steal from them their belongings, maybe their phones, take their ATM cards, steal from them until he was caught, you know. So you said it all, women should always keep records and reports these cases, because imagine some, not every woman will have the courage to actually go and report these cases, because she almost gave, you know, maybe 20% of consent to the situation, because she indulged in having a chat with this predator, you know. So I would say kudos to the police officer that handled this case, because some police officers would say, nobody, you go there. Who send you go there? Uh-huh. You know, you were enjoying the conversation. After all, you wanted something from the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so that aside, now let's talk about harassment in the workplace. Now, I'm not talking about rape this time around, because we hear a lot of cases of how men harass, not even just men. I've seen women also harass the men in the workspace, where you see them saying vulgar things, you know, and when their victims complain, they go ahead and defend themselves, saying, oh, after all, I did not rape her, or I did not say I want to sleep with her. You know, those kind of things are very uncomfortable. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, thank you very much. I know a lot of good workplace, safe and healthy workplace environment, there are rules against such, right, you know, inappropriate conduct. They have their code of conduct. They have code of behavior, you know. But again, you cannot rule out. When you talk of the workplace, there are several reasons such happen. You know, again, even though males can be victims too, but majority of the victims are essentially females.
Right.
Now, most of the time, you'll find it's a subordinate, a superior subordinate relationship, you know. And most of the time, they try to offer promotion and other perks of office in exchange for the sexual and for the sexual gratification given by the lady,
okay,
you know, to the male. Yes. So in some cases, you find some females, after some period of resistance, they give in. But you find some who, for religious reasons and one reason or the other, upbringing and parenting styles, when they don't give in, sometimes some suffer a depressive illness or a post-traumatic stress disorder. And sometimes you now find their work output begin to decline, and the person doing the harassment eases them out on that basis in order to foreclose any history or any trace. So you find that it's a very common occurrence. Again, most of the time, people speak about it in hushed tones. You know, they speak about it in hushed tones. And again, after a point in time, some of the ladies develop learned helplessness and just agree. And sometimes when younger females cry to the older females, see what I'm experiencing, say, just bear it. Just bear it. You understand what I'm trying to say?
It's not something to bear.
Yes, it's not something to bear, but they just tell them, just bear it, because they had gone through such a degrading experience and they didn't have the coping ability to stand up to it, you know? Mm. But you find that these days, many ladies are also standing up to it. Mm. But let me quickly let you know that in the workspace, you have the civil workspace and the military workspace.
Right.
You know, this thing is even more rampant in the military workspace, where you find that they are regimented, and you know they are regimented, they live in a closed place, they live within an enclosure. So it's more intense and the impact is more. And the females who refuse can easily be deployed, disciplined by being deployed on operational duties that are very risky. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say. So you see, we must not keep these things out of view.
Right. Now, how about among colleagues? Because, you know, it's quite difficult for the female or the victim to stand up, you know, defend herself, you know, among her superior. Or how about colleagues who just go around, you know, just saying things like, you set today. And she's not in the mood to hear things like that. It's not even right, you know. So you just hear colleagues saying, fine girl, fresh. Man go like you. You go, they good for bed. And things like that. And you're wondering, hello, we are in the workspace. You know, so you begin to see such ladies withdraw from them, or very uncomfortable when they have to walk around them.
Well, again, you see, you know, parenting is a huge task. Again, the way a person is brought up also gives him or her the necessary social skills to contain such tendencies. Mm. You understand? Ladies who know themselves will not tolerate that. They will say straight. And of course, the idea is that the first cut is the deepest, according to the musician. You know, once it comes up the first time, you make sure you cut in deep, and this is unacceptable. So don't just take it as because it will feel that, well, you are enjoying it. So ladies are advised, and women.
Because it feels like you're motivated
Yes. That would be what we call positive reinforcement by your when you are you accept it and you don't frown at it and you don't express your displeasure at it, and you don't threaten him that you will report to superiors and maybe other significant others in her life, you know, when a man passes such comments that are unacceptable, the lady should be able to let him know that, one, she doesn't like it, two, a repeat will attract serious consequences, including formal report to the work authorities and report to significant others in our life. You know, and I think it will check such tendencies. Talking of evidence, a good workspace environment, we have a closed circuit television cameras, and that will be a deterrent too to such.
Yeah. Yes.
Because remember, this thing occurs at the top echelon of the workplace, the management staff. It also occurs at the bottom rung, you know, at that level, the artisans, the casual staff, they also have it. So, but when you put those facilities and you let them know that this place is under CCTV coverage, it will be a very good one.
And it will keep everybody sane.
In check, yes.
somebody's watching, the cameras are watching and stuff like that. Yeah. But even at that, we still have people go ahead and still misbehave even under the CCTV coverage. Thank you so much for your thoughts. I would also like to, you know, bring your friends in. I see Dr. Peter also. I see Evelyn. You guys can unmute your mic so we can go ahead with this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining in. Thank you for joining in, Dr. Peter. Thank you, Okozuwa. I hope I'm not murdering the name, Osawaru. Thank you for joining in. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Ethel. You're back. So let me get your thoughts on this, Dr. Peter. Sexual harassment. The law is there, but we still have rising cases. Why? Let's go into the minds of these predators now. Why have this behavior continued to be persistent in our society?
Thank you very much for having me this time. In the law court, I'm not a lawyer, but with a few exposures I've had, it's very difficult to prove. Our law is very weak in this regard. Like my big friend, Dr. Lani, has said, really, gathering evidence is difficult. And our society has not regarded this as a very serious thing. Again, we are now the people really making, what do I call it now? We are making, some people will say, making a do about it. Otherwise, people have this happen and they go away. But because we start making noise about it, the impact is no more tolerable for them. But that doesn't mean it should be overlooked. It's a very big trouble. But when we cry more about it, that's when the people have the coping ability gives way, adding to what my friend has said. Now, why is it rising? It's rising for many reasons, so, including spiritual reasons.
Okay.
People today have to, including spiritual reasons. I've handled two cases like that, including spiritual reasons. People go into this act to get spiritual powers, especially.
I forgot to add the case study of pastors also doing things like this to empower themselves.
Unfortunately for you, I'm a pastor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not the lead, but I'm a pastor too.
Okay.
Yes, truly, this thing go on and on and on. The stigmatism, that stigmatizing the people is what scared them from crying out. And again, pursuing cases like this is very expensive. If government could have an independent body handling cases of harassment, we should have been persistent, we should have been injurious. Because before you say harassment, sexual harassment of a court, it should have been persistent.
Right.
And it should have been injurious to the fellow. And it should have been totally without any iota of consent from the individual. Then to gather this material to prosecute someone is very difficult. Because you go to court and the person you are dealing with is not a virgin before. How do you prove is this man who have done this? In fact, just very, 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 very fluid, if I may use that language. That's why people, by and by, they shy away. Allow me to say this too. The society we are in, how much do they actually have respect to law, rule of law? How much do they, without apology to anybody, how much do they? There are cases that one would have pursued earnestly and seriously, but when you look at that, before I go left and right, this thing is like, leave it. Don't waste your small resources on this. So that's why people will simply say, okay, if that is the case, let the sleeping dog lie. But the dog really is not sleeping.
It's not. I can tell you, in fact, that it's not.
It's injurious. It's very, very injurious.
All right, let me get your thoughts, Okunzuwa Osawaru. Why do you think these cases are still persistent, sexual harassment?
Well, Najite, thanks for making it possible here. My friend, Dr. Amiru Zawane, actually invited me, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
I listened to his own thoughts, of course, being a very brilliant man. The performance couldn't have been less.
Mm.
Well, for me, really, Lawani's perspective were generally normative.
Mm.
And as you have with standards, the environment has to be right for those standards to be met. On account of that, my own approach would be developmental.
Okay.
I think there is a lag between where we are and where we ought to have been.
Okay.
I'm also, as Lawani said, I'm not taking a jot from any of those things. They are all valid, but I repeat, they were normative.
Mm.
Now, if you look at our socialization process, it's become very faulty in nearly every aspect of life.
Mm.
You have complaints in the political arena. You have complaints, of course, that is featured here already, law enforcement. And even, just like Dr. Lawani said, where people are brought up and so on and so forth. The family units are under pressure and so on and so forth. And the educational system is almost broken down beyond repair.
Mm.
So apart from the use of sexual substances, psychoactive substances and so on, most people don't even know what the limits are.
Mm.
So he said so is rather multifactorial, but I believe essentially it is developmental. The facilities have to be there, they have to evolve, or we have to accelerate them to be in place. People have to be aware of where the limits are drawn.
Mm.
The enforcement has to be there. It has to be, when you commit a crime, just as night follows day or day follows night, you are sure there will be reprisal within the limits of the law as well. So all these things have to be installed. Have to be installed. But just like he has also said, doing a program you are doing now is a contribution, because most of these things are little drops that will add up to make an ocean eventually. So I also commend this program, and we should make it more frequent and more widespread. But I think it's more of a developmental issue. People, we don't really have the equipment, socially speaking now. We're rather regressed. We are far below and far behind where we should be at this stage. All around our laws, our obedience to the laws, our awareness of the laws, and so on and so forth. I think it's the total effect. And of course, the residual concept from our old society about the place of women and all those, you know, all those things add up. You know, if you were to sit back and do a kind of detailed composition strand by strand, it will be clear to you that we have some carryover from our earlier societies even before we became a nation state. You know, there are still some customs that conflict our modern laws, even as these modern laws are weakly applied or are barely known. We still have customs and practices that contradict these laws. So there's a kind of conflict in all these things. But I really don't believe, speaking as a person, that women ought to be victims endlessly. Women themselves should find a way to cohere. They should find allies amongst the men.
Mm-hmm.
They should mount a very serious advocacy to ensure society is more aware of these things and will be ready to deploy the necessary resources to make sure these practices as a kind of insult to womanhood are checked.
Which is actually going on right now. Thank you so much, Okunzuwa. Your thoughts was development factor is one of the factors to sexual harassment in our society. Let me go to Ethel Ejenavi. I'm sorry if I'm ordering your name, but please, can I get your thoughts on this consistent crime, you know, even after a law has been placed on it? Hello, Hetel. Okay, so let's move on with the program. Maybe she cannot. I need you to unmute your mic if you can hear me. Okay, let's go ahead with the program. So, Dr. Lawani, lastly, before we wrap up the show, what is the basic solution to people who are found with these issues? Because I would always say that I feel like you also have said, that this is also, there's a contributing factor that they are dealing with mental illnesses. That's why I wanted us to look at the issues from the behavioral factor. Now, what could be the solution, or what can be done as a bit of assistance to the offenders?
Okay, well, thank you very much. You will see that, hello?
We can hear you, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
You'll see that this phenomenon is becoming more and more rampant. And again, you must adopt a holistic approach to solving it. A holistic approach. And it must be multi-sectoral, involving the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Women and Social Development, the Ministry of Finance, even. You understand, Ministry of Environment.
Right.
Now, all these things have to be brought together, because we find most of our youths, unemployment and a lot of things drag people to drug abuse.
Right.
They become, they experience recidivism and become the dregs of society, and you find them in such public places constituting nuisance, in quotes. I'm sorry to use that word.
Right.
Now, again, you find that person who was trying to masturbate, the young man, in the public place that have been doing it over and over, gains pleasure from such. Perhaps he doesn't even have any destination going for the day. He just gets into the bus.
And just begins
to relieve himself of his own tension and to get his own pleasure. He doesn't have anything doing. Now, that is also a reflection of now. If such cases are identified, there must be collaboration between the Nigerian police, having apprehended such people. Of course, such people, most of the time, they are homeless. If you ask them, where is your house? They don't know. Most of the time. So the Ministry of Women Affairs and Social Development that is involved and will be involved in such things, we have to have better, seamless collaboration with the Nigerian police. Such that such cases, when they are taken there, the police brings in the Women of Social, Ministry of Women Affairs and Social Development, and the Ministry of Women Affairs and Social Development now brings in the Ministry of Health. And the Ministry of Health now brings in people in the mental health team to handle the situation. And thereafter, after they have done that, they bring in the Ministry of Women Affairs again and Social Development and plan rehabilitation, proper rehabilitation, then we will not be going around this vicious circle. Now, this framework can be adopted among all tiers of government, because at the federal government, you have such ministries. At the state level, you have such ministries. At the local government, you have such units.
Right.
So, leaders must be ready to play their role and use the budgetary allocation meant for such for what it is meant for.
Right.
Now, then, again, there must also be training of adequate hands, manpower. Because, again, to achieve the proper goal, to properly restore these people back to proper state of functioning, where they will be mentally stable, you need the services of the psychiatrist, the psychologist, the psychiatric nurse, the psychiatric occupational therapist, and the psychiatric social welfare officer. How many institutions in Nigeria have such complements of staff? Adequate. Few. So you find that most of the time, people may not be really getting the entire therapy package they ought to get that will restore them back to their pre-morbid functioning state. So this is an issue that ought to also be looked into. Let me also let you know that budgetary allocation to health ought to also be improved. Because most of these people who are doing all this, committing all these acts, most of them are homeless vagrants, moving around. And so there's nobody. If the government sometimes find they are constituting users, they weed them off from the street, push them into the center. But when they are stable and they go out of the hospital upon discharge, there's no follow-up care. And so they relapse again and continue the habit.
Because
again, we need to begin to also think of a proper insurance system. How many states in Nigeria have an insurance scheme? This is what we also be thinking about. You know, then again, you need to also be looking at the issue of a mental health law we don't have in Nigeria. We are still using the antiquated, outdated colonial laws. Now, with the Mental Health Act being, with the Mental Health Bill being enacted, you will have a Mental Health Commission. And that commission will focus more on, there will be issues of handling such things at all the geopolitical regions of Nigeria. They will be able to quickly activate a rapid response team. Look at the issues of the IDP camps we are talking about. What about these issues of kidnappings and whatever? These are all issues that they are potential time bomb. A Mental Health Act with a Mental Health Commission, we provide a more seamless and very efficient, then there will be database. Because what we have now is everybody doing his own. Winking in the dark, perhaps. There is no concerted synergistic effort at getting the database. So do we know the database of people who engage these things in Nigeria? No, we don't know. You know, so, and how many people are ready to sponsor research in such areas? Very few. How many non-governmental organizations do you have championing the cause of the mentally ill? How many radio stations or broadcast stations or outfits like yours will spend this kind of prime time and hour to look into the issues confronting such downtrodden people, who some of them who found themselves where they are now, not due to their own cause, for no reason of theirs. So you see, but you are doing very great, like Dr. Okuzua said. I mean, because you have done very well, and we appreciate you, because we can't do it alone. You know, we can't do it alone.
We just have to keep doing it in collaboration with each other, because those who have to talk, keep talking. Those who can treat should keep treating, you know.
Thank you.
But we talked about some of the things that Nigerians lack to, you know, fight things like this. How about the global space, where the more developed world, where we have psychiatrists in the cell evaluating people with such issues? Things like this still happen in the global world. Things like this still happen in the developed countries. What has gone wrong there?
No, but they happen, but the prevalence is not that much. And the people get things got properly sorted out, and people, they spend the time in jail for what they have done.
Okay.
Yes, they spend the time in jail for what they have done. And that is a negative reinforcement, punishment.
All right, sir. Thank you so much, Dr. Lawani Ambrose, for joining in.
Thank you very much.
Amazing conversation. And thanks to all of your friends that you brought along with you. Dr. Peter Adian Asabo, thank you. Dr. Okonzua, thank you. Dr. Ethel, I didn't get to hear your thoughts, but thank you so much. It was an amazing time. And I'm sure that the listeners have taken one or two lessons from the program. Thank you so much for joining in the program.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you. Thank you. God bless.
That has been the Discuss section of Dialogue with Najite.